Hello everyone, welcome to another episode of the Indian Cycling Podcast. This is your host Harsha.
This is Gokul here.
And the world has seen an unprecedented event which has shaken and restricted most of the citizens to their homes. Finding something to talk positive in these grim times is also tough. So Gokul, why don't you go about telling us about today's topic?
Yeah, so in fact, it has been so tough that it has taken us a lot of time to even come up with a topic. So we even went through a process of identifying a topic, writing down the notes, and then finally we discarded that. And that is why it has taken us so much time to do a recording, even though we are all at our homes. So given these times, I of course have been fortunate enough to have a trainer, and I've been riding a lot at home. And as I was finishing one of my rides a few days back, I was seeing a sports movie, which ended with a quote from Pierre de Coubertin, the person who is considered as the father of the modern Olympic Games. And the quote goes as this: "The most important thing in the Olympic Games is not winning, but taking part. The essential thing in life is not conquering, but fighting well." Unquote. So I think this very beautifully summarizes what we are all going through, so much so that for the first time, most athletes and even amateur sports persons like us, we are all understanding the importance and the privilege we have by getting an opportunity to participate in any event, be it a humble century ride or a club race or a Wimbledon or an Olympics or the Giro. So I thought we'll just continue on this. While everything looks grim at this point in time, there are still a lot of unique opportunities available for us to make the best use of this time restricted to our homes to get better at cycling. So I thought we could focus on that.
Yeah, I knew you'll come to the trainers. I think that is probably the only industry that is actually doing well. You know, you have to make those face masks or ventilators, or, you know, make trainers.
Yeah, I think we'll have to talk to our suppliers to say take back cycles and give back trainers when we reopen. So yes, that is true. But having said that, I also know that majority of us don't have access to a trainer, or even if you have access to a trainer, there is only so much you can do on trainers. So I would focus as much as possible on the aspects which we could train without the need for a trainer as well. In fact, we will rather start with that, for addressing the areas which we could work on without needing a trainer.
Yeah, I don't have a trainer. I don't have a treadmill. And, you know, that's been tough, not working out for the past 15 days or so. But, you know, I'm old enough and good looking enough not to worry about how a little bit of exercise affects me. But yeah. I do have to work from home, and you sit all day and you're indoors, and, you know, at some point the cramps and the crankiness starts creeping in. So yeah, some level of physical activity is necessary, and there is even like almost a physical craving for it. I've actually taken to some low-tech training. Tell me what you think of this. Okay, so when I wake up, I right now temporarily I'm living in an individual house with my extended family, and it's a two-story building, and I just wake up in the morning and keep running up and down the stairs, and I throw in a few push-ups for good measure between the running up and down. What do you think of that?
It is fantastic. In fact, when I used to train people, and I still train people, we used to do our strength training in the store at times, and most of that is bodyweight based training. And I remember once I think we were supposed to start the training at the store and I didn't have the keys and Sampath was coming or something like that and he got a little delayed. And we started working out in the steps right in front of the store. And once Sampath came, everyone else was scolding him for the amount of pain they had to undergo in those 10 steps. So yeah, steps can be a great training tool. In fact, what I would recommend to you, Harsha, is that you don't have to just be make it monotonous by running up and down. You could try a few things. For example, you warm up by gingerly running up for the first couple of times. And the second or third time, you can try to do like something like a jump squat across the various steps. Or you could hop on a single leg across one half of the steps and then alternate the leg on the second half. And these are very, very tough workouts. It not only engages your muscles, but also engages the core muscles, which are responsible for maintaining the posture. That is why they are called core muscles. And core muscles, the only way you can activate them is by initiating a movement which will disturb the balance or the equilibrium of the body. So when you are jumping, say, single leg, you will need to engage your core to ensure that you are able to stand upright or maintain that balance or maintain that slight asymmetry which you are creating by using only one leg. So these are great exercises. And you will never know how much a simple, humble set of stairs can train you.
So we don't have any visuals on this podcast. How do you, if I want to visualize what you're telling me, how do I do that?
Okay. To an extent, I will. What I am going to do is for the workouts that I am going to suggest, which are to be done off the trainer, I will restrict to the very simplest of the workouts. And it is very important to have the correct form for all these basic movements. And I am going to restrict only to the basic movements. The idea is that you will use these as the workouts to do and refer the worldwide web and the biggest teacher that we have right now to find out YouTube videos and stuff which you could follow to check your form. And that is the only way we can go about it. But the key is I'm not going to give you hundreds of workouts to do. I'm going to restrict to very simple workouts. But just like how I gave you an example of using the stairs, I would rather restrict it to the simplest of moves, but look at progressing and getting to do that movement in the perfect way possible and progressing in the same movement to keep it motivating and to improve your overall strength. So right. With respect to the workouts that you can do without the trainer, instead of calling it the workouts, I would rather look at two of the areas that you could work on. One of the being a store owner, again, I often get many people who come to the store to buy a bicycle just because they hate the gym. So while it is very easy for me to tell them, yeah, if you hate the gym, bicycle is a great way, I don't follow that myself in the sense that I believe that core strength and general strength and conditioning are very important and are required to be able to cycle well and also prevent injuries and cycle faster and longer. So, and this I know for people who are into cycling, and again, majority of us are having regular day jobs and not professionals and stuff like that. So when we are into cycling, there is a very easy tendency to think that what else do I have to do? And most often I know majority of the people who don't ever do any strength and conditioning workouts at all. So this is a great time to work on these two aspects, that is building your strength in the core and the legs and also improving your flexibility and muscle activation. So the two areas are building strength. The second one is flexibility and muscle activation. I think strength, flexibility, almost everybody understands. What I mean by muscle activation is, whenever we are doing any workout, we are not doing them in isolation and in terms of the involvement of the various muscle groups. So the more muscles that are activated, the better the workout is. There is lesser chances of injury and there is going to be a longer time to fatigue. In fact, one of the simplest examples for this is, often people question why a road bicycle is faster than a, say, a hybrid or a mountain bike. So while there are many reasons, like the gear ratios, the weight, the width of the tires, and so on, there is one of the most fundamental reasons why road bikes tend to be faster is because how they position the rider and how they position the rider to use more muscle groups. So when we sit on the road bike with our hands on the hoods or the drops of the curved road bike handlebar, what happens is automatically our pelvic is slightly rotated, and that enables us to utilize our glute muscles, the muscles which are in our butts, better. And as a result, be able to deliver more power. So if, for example, for some reason, because of our posture or some musculature, the glute muscles is not very strong or is not participating enough in the overall activity, that is like not utilizing some of your strengths or some of your muscles, and as a result, it can reduce the efficiency. So we'll talk about workouts which will help in enabling or activating more muscle groups. Does that scare you, Harsha?
Yeah, I mean, the only thing I can do right now is, I've tried a few things. I don't have the trainer thing, as I told you, but I've tried yoga. I've tried, just running, this running thing. I've tried the live classes. Mm-hmm. This running up and down, probably because it is continuous movement and it is very regulated movement, this is better than others. Mm-hmm. Or at least maybe this is better for me. So this is the closest thing I've come to, which I can seem to keep up with.
Yeah. So in fact, what I would do is, the biggest thing is, in these days, it is also important to keep it keep enough variety so that you are able to motivate yourself to do it every day. So in addition to these running the stairs, if you are able to do a few of these, say, for example, I have exactly the same situation and with some of the athletes that I am coaching, and I have been telling them the same thing. So what I have asked them to do is, for every set of stairs that they climb, I have asked them to mix a set of strength workouts that they can do after each stair climb, so that there is some level of variety, as well as you also see with one of the biggest things about these workouts, the strength workouts, is you can also measure yourself in progression with regards to whether you are able to lift weight or you are able to achieve a greater range of motion and so on. So without much ado, I will just focus on the three core leg movements that I would ask each of you to work on. The three movements are the squat. You can start with the regular body weight squat, wherein you are doing it without any additional weight. And if you find that very easy, you could progress. The first thing to say that you have mastered the squat would be to be able to have the right form. and to have the complete range of motion. So that is wherein you are able to squat as low as possible with your calves touching your glutes, your calves touching your butt, you know, as to the grass, as they call it. So that would be the point wherein you can say you have complete range of motion and you have a perfect squat, you know, with the rest of the postural corrections also, you know, without your core collapsing or your knees curving inside or outside. So with the knees tracking straight and with your core back not leaning too forward and back not curved, if you are able to achieve the complete range of motion, then you could look at adding some weights. If you don't have weights, you could make it more tough by doing jump squats, which are more explosive and which will help in building power. Or the third option is you could, like I am doing personally right now, is to progress to what are called as single legged squats or pistol squats. So I'm sure you can find progression steps towards doing a pistol squat or a single leg squat. It is very challenging and it involves a lot of core, because once you are at the lowest position in the single leg squat, to just to come up, you need to engage your core and the balance and the strength required to keep your entire body as a single unit to be able to come up is significant. So you will see, you can feel your core muscles engaging. So that would be the first and most important movement for almost any workout, and more so for cyclists. The second workout I would say is a lunge, wherein a forward lunge or a reverse lunge, both are the same. So you could master that, and again, it's the same thing like a squat. Progression would be doing a jump squat, wherein instead of doing it step by step, you are jumping between one leg moving back and the other leg moving back in a single step. So that is quite challenging as well. This involves a lot of the hamstrings and glutes. And the third simple exercise without, and all these exercises are, I'm suggesting, are without the need for any tool or any weight. The third one is a glute bridge, again, wherein you lie on your back and keep your foot together and try to raise your torso. So this activates the glute muscles and again is a very, very important workout. So I would just say focus on these three workouts and plan the progressions, the squat, lunge and glute bridges. And these would be the core workouts that will take care of your legs. So moving on, with regards to the core strength workout, I would say the most important one is the plank, the elbow plank or plank wherein you keep your palms on the ground. In fact, the push-up is a kind of a plank. The push-up is also referred to as a moving plank. So, and the reason, I'm sure you can find various form videos. It is very important for us to understand why the plank is important and what are the muscles it involves. So it is called a plank because we are the whole body, right from the foot to the shoulder, has to act as a single unit, which is very straight. So in order to maintain that posture, your core muscles have to engage to prevent the core from collapsing. So if the core muscles do not engage, you lift your butt or you collapse lower. So in order to have it as a single line, you have to engage your core. And that is where the biggest challenge is. So you can start with holding a plank. You can try to progress in terms of 30 seconds each every 3-4 days. Start with the first step would be to be able to hold a plank for about 30 seconds or a minute, and then slowly progress every 3-4 days for about a half a minute or so. The second most important thing is a side plank, wherein you do the same thing, but you do it on one side, twist your body so that one hand is on the ground and the other hand is on the air. These two are the most important workouts which you can do without any, for the core without any weights. You could also try the headstand, which I found it to be very, very challenging to take up first, you know. I also feel that if you have something new which you cannot do, you're trying to learn and doing it, it gives a lot of satisfaction, and nobody at this point in time can give the excuse of not having time. So you will have a lot of time. It is time to find a new movement which we have never done before and master that. So I am sure there are very few people who can do a headstand. If you can do a headstand completely unsupported and hold it for a few minutes, I think it is very, it's very challenging and very useful. And it has many other benefits as well. It is also some very common workout suggested even in yoga. It is also, because it reverses the blood flow to the brains, it is also supposed to give you a better kick or a sense of freshness when you complete the headstand. You could also try the V hold or the Russian twist, both of which you can find videos online. It is very important to not stretch straight away, but to do some sort of warm up like a jumping jack or climbing stairs or perform some burpees. So these were the things, ideas I had with regards to the workouts which we can do to improve the strength and flexibility and muscle activation. Do you think you will be able to do some of these, Harsha?
Yeah. I'll have to probably watch some of those videos before I do them, just to get the postures and everything correct. But
What about? In fact, I would encourage people to post videos on our Facebook page and tag us, or put it on our Facebook page, and I will respond giving suggestions on tips, suggestions or form corrections if I see the videos.
Yeah, that's actually a great idea. We should do that.
Yeah, and in fact, we can share some of the videos. In fact, I can even record some of the personal videos and suggestions on these things as a follow-up to the podcast.
Yeah, let's do that. Yeah, let's try and do that. Yeah. Now, so this is for the guys who don't have all these fancy stuff. But what if you do have a trainer? What does your suggestion look like for those people?
Many of the trainers nowadays have our smart control trainers, where you can make it more interesting by using a software to manage your workout. And at this point in time, many of these softwares have also extended their free trial period as well. For example, one of the softwares which I really enjoy is Sufferfest. So they have given, I think, an additional 30 day over the regular 14 day trial period. I sincerely hope we are done with our lockdown before that. So I would say go ahead and try Sufferfest. It's a fantastic tool. And there are a few other free softwares, or even you could use the 14 day trial periods. The regular other gold standards are, I think the three best softwares are Sufferfest, Zwift and TrainerRoad. I have used all three of them, and it's really tough to say which one is better. It's really up to what you are looking for, and I think they still cater to different audiences, even though they are in the trainer software field, because each one has slightly different nuances. Sufferfest is slowly growing to be a complete platform. They not only have cycling videos, but they also have strength, yoga, and mental conditioning videos as well. And even their approach to training is based, probably the only software which has a more holistic approach to power-based training, wherein they cater to all the different period powers. As in, traditionally, we all know of functional threshold power, which is the power somebody can maintain continuously for an hour. But that is not the only thing. You know, say, for example, that is the most important thing if you are riding a time trial. But say if you are riding a criterium or a mass start, wherein your sprinting prowess is more likely to give you a win. So somebody who has a high FTP may still not have a great sprint. So so the Sufferfest software came up with a component with a fancy marketing term called 4DP, four-dimensional power, wherein they during one of their assessment tests, they record the FTP, the sprint power, the 1 minute power, and the 5 minute power, and they work towards analyzing where you stand with regards to each of these powers, and also identifying your strengths and weaknesses and suggest how you could go about improving them. So it's a fantastic software. Trainer Road, on the other hand, is more like my kind of software. I've been on it for the last few years. It gives you very structured workouts. You could also follow a training plan. Of course, you can follow a training plan on any of these softwares. It has got a structured workouts. So you just can either follow a training plan, or you can, based on the time availability and the kind of workout you want to do, you can search workouts and pick and choose, and it has fantastic workouts. And Zwift is virtual gaming. You can race against others in the virtual world, and you have a more realistic feeling. You have a big setup with a big TV and stuff like that. I think Zwift will be very exciting. There is another new software called RGT Cycling. It is quite buggy, but if you can get it working, it is good. And in the RGT Cycling, they have some 3-4 nice routes which you can do. For example, they have the Paterberg, which is one of the short cobbled, most significant cobbled sections towards the end of Tour of Flanders. They have the Mont Ventoux, which is one of the most iconic climbs in cycling. So you could try RGT Cycling to do one of those real routes in the virtual world.
Okay, let's do some recommendations other than training. So I recently watched A Sunday in Hell about Paris-Roubaix on YouTube, which was something I loved. I didn't feel like I paid for it. So, so it's on YouTube. You can watch it there. There's also Eat Race Win on Amazon Prime, which I watched, which follows the Tour of France team, but it's more food focused and looking at what they eat at various points in the day. I also liked Icarus on Netflix, which is a pretty good movie, but it's more to do with the doping rather than cycling. So yeah, still a good thing.
Yeah, it's a very good, very well made movie. Eat Race Win is also a fantastic series. It's a more done in episode wise, and at the cost of sounding cliched, bite-sized episodes. So my favorites, all-time favorites, has been Breaking Away and The Flying Scotsman. So in fact, there is a very nice history to Breaking Away. One of or probably my first modern day bicycle was the Schwinn Cutter, which is a single speed, high tension steel fixie slash flip flop with a flip flop hub. And it is called a cutter based on the events of the movie. Basically, the Breaking Away is loosely the same theme as Jojita Vaisikandar. And the school or the people of the local area who worked in the mines, they were condescendingly called as cutters. And my first bicycle was called the Cutter based on that movie. So yeah, it's a fantastic movie. You should watch. I don't know where it is available, but I'm pretty sure you should be able to get some versions either on YouTube or on at a very low rate on the Google library as well. And the latest thing is the Tour of Flanders organizers have released a series of videos of the last 4 or 5 editions of the Tour of Flanders. And each edition is catering to 1 year. And it's about 1 hour, 15 minutes long. And they give a completely different perspective to the race, wherein they capture the information right from the perspective of the audience, the cameraman, the commissaires, the team cars, and so on. So it gives you a completely different and a wholesome perspective of the race. So you should definitely watch those. Again, they are also about 1 hour, 15 minutes. So you could space it out nicely, and they are all freely available on YouTube. I think at least I have seen 4 or 5 versions of that available. I think starting from the 100th year version, so 2016 or so. So the definitely watchable videos. And as I am talking about this, Tour of Flanders was scheduled to happen this last Sunday. And while the race was cancelled, but the organizers went ahead and did a very short 30 kilometers virtual race of the tour on the same day as the original planned date of the race. And it had some marquee names, some good Belgian riders. Being a Belgian race, we had Greg Van Avermaet, the new young sensation Remco Evenepoel, the defending champion Bettiol from the Italian, and so many other Oliver Nassen and so on participating in the race. And it was a very interesting race to watch. In fact, I never thought a virtual race wherein you just see people riding on a trainer without their jerseys would be so interesting, because what made it very interesting was the fact that we could see all their power and numbers and various information, power, cadence, heart rate, speed, everything was available. And that just put it into perspective as to how much more power these guys are generating. Now, Greg Van Avermaet went ahead to win the race. He was generating 435 watts for about 35 minutes. I think I'll be very happy if I can do that for 3 minutes. So that gives you a sense of the raw power that these guys can generate. There was one of the riders had a mechanical failure on a trainer. And the commentators were discussing about having mechanics available on hand to fix trainer ride issues. So it was really outrageously humorous.
There is actually another case where there was some virtual race with some sponsors and all that. And there was this female rider who was winning it. And she suddenly got disconnected from the race. Turns out that her husband came into the room to encourage her and tripped over the wire and basically disconnected her. It was like one of those hilarious stories.
Yeah. I mean, especially I think probably that must have been something with around the Zwift Academy, right? Because Zwift has been popular for the last few years, wherein they have been conducting these online races through Zwift, and have the winner was promised a pro contract as the prize for winning the championship or the winning the race. So must have been the Zwift Academy race. Cool. So I think that's it for this week's edition. So we will try to put some videos and information to support the workouts suggested in the podcast today.
Yes, and as always, rate us on Apple Podcasts if you are listening to it there, or you can leave us a comment on the Facebook group of Indian Cycling Podcast. the more you do such things, the more our discoverability increases. So please be generous.
Yes,
okay. That's a wrap. Thank you.
That's it. Thank you. Take care.